You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Hello, everyone. I'm probably sounding terrible, but welcome to episode 23, I want to say. Sounds about right. Of Bras, Bitches, and Balls. Lee is in Mexico
on a beach.
On a beach, so that's nice. I'm here loathing winter because still, coldness. This is Nick. As I'm sure you know, today we have Rena Hopkins,
yo,
who will be talking about
various
things.
Hello.
And we have Lisa, who in addition to have questions, also has a bra of the week, which sadly we can't show you because we have a bunch of technical issues with the live video. But we'll put up a picture on the page so that you can see what we're talking about.
Yeah, and hi, everybody. Also, not only do I have questions, but I have a story about how I am super cold because I don't have heat in my fucking house right now. So I'm either going to freeze to death or cause a massive explosion, one or the other. So the bra of the week. Sorry you guys won't be able to see it, but it's not a pretty bra, but it is an amazingly functional bra. It's not truly a bra, I guess. It's a compression bra. It's called Bra 30. I'm going to show Rena. So this is, it comes in multiple colors.
We're recording here.
Oh, hey, look. Yeah. You can see this here.
See, we do have a video,
okay,
but it won't be
it
a live
Facebook
video.
Live.
Yeah, so, it'll be on YouTube instead.
Oh, YouTube. Okay, so this is a compression bra. It's called a Bra 30. And it's essentially like a t-shirt bra. It's very stretchy. And it's one of those bras that if you don't really, you want to lay around on a Saturday or you just want to run to the grocery store or something where you don't want to have to get everything everywhere. You just kind of want to chill, but you're worried about people coming to the door or, a nephew visiting or whatever. You don't want to be completely exposed. You can throw this on and it is awesome. It's just a little support so that, if you need the support for pain reasons, whatever, it gives you a little bit of compression, but it's not super uncomfortable. There's no underwire. There's just some elastic in the bottom part, the band part.
I like that it looks a little longer than your average, just like a sports bra kind of thing. It looks like it would fit a little nicer under clothes and give you kind of a nice lean look.
Yes. And it's definitely one. It's not as like supportive as the sports bras that Busted carries, but it does give you a little bit more. You're right, it kind of goes a little bit lower than just right under the breast.
And
it's just nice for, like I said, chilling around the house, but you kind of want to have something, you're out gardening or whatever and you don't want to be sagging or
good morning FedEx guy.
Exactly. Hi, Schwing. So I love this, and this one is actually my personal one because I didn't make it down to the store to pick one up, but I love this bra and I just happened to dig it out of a bin of clean clothes that I have not
put
away.
Okay, I was just picturing you, just whipping it off in the car.
Right.
The
let's
my God,
off.
I forgot. Wait, hang on.
No, I am actually wearing a Matilda, today on.
I'm going to guess
underwire
that's a
bra.
Style of bra.
It is. Okay, it's a good. Very pretty bra. We featured a couple of times in a couple of different colors. I have the beige one on, but it's a regular bra with underwire and everything. The compression bra, like I said, I've worn it out to, the grocery store, running around, that kind of thing where I'm not worried about, how it's going to fit under a dress or anything. I'm just throwing a sweatshirt on. I just want to get going. Also, like I said, doing yard work and stuff like that, where it's like if you're on your knees and digging holes and things, you don't really want to be sagging around. And In my youth, that was never a problem because I was super flat chested. But
what happened
now, not
to
so
you?
Much. I know. In my 30s, I got boobs.
All right.
It was very weird. So I also gained a lot of weight. So I'm going to go with it was all of my boobs. So that is it. So we always feature a bra of the week to start because Busted is our sponsor. And a couple of things about Busted. They are still featuring the Brides of March sale. And also, I think we mentioned this before, but they do take layaway, old school layaway.
Yeah.
So if you want to...
It's a relatively new thing. But
yeah, if you want to buy something, because some of the stuff that Lee carries is... fashion colors, so they're only available for a certain amount of time. And so if you're, you know, a hard to find size or something like that and you want to grab something but you're like, I can't really afford it right now, I gotta wait till my next paycheck, you can put it down. $20? I think it's $20
maybe
down, 10
that,
is
yep.
And 10 then, is non-refundable, so there's a
right.
restocking fee if you don't purchase it. And that's all I'm going to say because I don't want to get anything wrong. But but so that is it. And then Lee is enjoying her time on a beach in Mexico, and I hope having a pina colada for me while I am freezing my ass off. But we also are opening a Chicago store. Rena, I don't know if you knew that, but
no,
we are opening in Hyde Park in April,
nice.
Hopefully. So once Lee gets back, she's going to have to run down to Chicago and start getting that together. We've got the keys and are working on getting that opened. So lots of interest there from Chicago peeps to have something that carries a wide variety of sizes and fashions for everyone.
I'm in Chicago all the time. We'll have to check it out.
Yeah, you will. I'm hoping that we'll have a fun grand opening, post actual opening where we have a little party.
That'd be nice. And it's, just down the road from where the Obamas live. So
oh, we can maybe
in
we'll
theory,
see.
In theory, there's three potential clients.
Mrs.
There.
Obama, please bring Malia and Sasha and yourself on down.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty exciting.
That would be nice.
That'd be epic.
Yeah, that'd be cool. So, yeah, that's going to be happening soon. But while she's gone, while Lee is away, we are going to play.
We're going to talk.
Yeah.
And we have our guest here today, Rena Hopkins.
Hello again.
Hello again. Is various multifaceted artist, dog adopter, and promoter of dog adoption.
And dogs and art.
Okay,
yep.
So we're going to be besties.
I think. You said four dogs.
Hello. Four of them, and I had to turn the heat off when I got it started today so that if the house explodes, it doesn't do it while they're home alone. Because if I blow up with them, I guess it's okay.
Well, at least you all go together at that point. It's like, it'll be like The Shining, but
another movie I've never seen.
Oh God! Okay, so I'm
kin.
Today I'm actually in the studio
movies.
With people who haven't seen an awful lot of my reference points.
I did see A Wrinkle in Time, though.
Oh, cool!
It
was
it beautiful.
Good?
It was one of the most beautiful movies I've seen in forever. Like the color, the one I didn't know Reese Witherspoon was in it because everybody knew Oprah was in it, right? I had seen some things that. Mindy Kaling was in it.
Yes.
And then, so like the first person who shows up, I'm like, is that Reese Witherspoon? Holy shit, that's Reese Witherspoon. Who I love in Big Little Lies. Mm-hmm. It was just gorgeous. It was mesmerizing.
To see that.
And I'd heard like, meh. And it was one of my favorite books growing up.
Right.
And I don't even remember anything about it. I'm like, now I got to go back and read the book because I don't remember anything.
Spot.
I just remember it was one of my favorite books.
Was it good as well as beautiful?
Yes, it was. I really enjoyed it. So I'd heard like mixed reviews and everybody was like Black Panther, Wrinkle in Time. And of course, two black producers. Is that what we directors?
Directors, producers.
So, it was like pit them against each other kind of thing. And like Black Panther's better than Wrinkle in Time, blah, blah, blah.
We can have more than one.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
I think, completely different genres.
Exactly.
And it's about fucking time. We could actually support both.
Maybe even more than two?
Yeah, maybe.
I'm going to say maybe we should just make it a normal thing where we don't even notice that
it's
a black directed produced film because it's just something that happens all the time.
It's not new.
That could be a be a good place to be.
So I don't know much about Ava DuVernay. You probably do because you're more of a movie person.
I know that she's going to be doing. I think her next
she's
project.
She's doing a comic book movie, isn't she?
Yeah, she's going to be doing New Gods, which is. So anyone who's paid attention to the Marvel movies will see that there have been a lot more cosmic-themed ones coming of late.
I haven't paid attention to.
Like, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy, Ragnarok, that sort of stuff. It's all set in space.
Damn it, Janet.
So those films exist because the comics that they come from were in a large part created by a guy called Jack Kirby. And Jack Kirby didn't look unlike how Jeff Goldblum looks in Ragnarok. He was kind of like, you know, a sort of like dapper little older silver foxy kind of dude.
I didn't know Jeff Goldblum was in Ragnarok. Again, a movie I haven't seen.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway.
So you can get
if
away
you
with
like,
that by
if...
just not telling people. Just smile.
Yeah, you just smile.
Yeah, just like Jeff
I was
Goldblum
just waiting for you
Ragnarok,
to say Goldblum in the
which
Fly.
Which is a movie.
Yeah.
Which is
well,
a movie.
So a Jack, Kirby, didn't get treated very well by Marvel and went to DC and created a thing which was basically like the Thor comics. But an entirely new universe with new gods, hence the name, New Gods. And people have always wanted to do this. And I've always thought it's really sad that Jack Kirby died. Obviously, it's sad when people die. But it's sad that he died before these movies came up because he should be the one who's doing the wacky cameos in like Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah. It shouldn't really be Stan Lee because Stan Lee basically took like what Kirby did and went like, yeah, that's great.
Let's add some color.
I have the majority share. Thanks, Jack. We're not going to treat you well, so.
See you, bye.
Bye. Yeah, exactly. Anyway.
So Ava DuVernay is directing that.
New Gods.
What has she done in the past, though? Like, I know she's famous for having done a couple of things prior to A Wrinkle in Time.
I don't know.
But I don't know what it is.
I know I don't know. I should really know this.
It makes sense that we don't know because clearly we've established that we do not watch.
You know what? Had I known this question was coming, I would totally have looked this up. But I liked A Wrinkle in Time. I understand why there were some things missing from the movie. So the one thing I missed from it is the fact that the three who, which, and what's it? They start out looking one way and then they change in the book. That didn't happen, but I can understand why, because when you're paying for the three people you're already paying for,
you want to keep Oprah's face on that screen.
might not.
My understanding of that is that they did minor makeup changes and costume changes throughout to try and
The costumes were gorgeous. The hair was beautiful. Reese Witherspoon does actually.
She does do that.
She does
one transformation
conversion, which again was one of the most beautiful scenes. It was just.
Did it look like Sailor Moon?
No.
Although I would totally be down for a Sailor Moon type thing with Reese Witherspoon. That would be kind of funny. I think that would be great.
But yeah, it was gorgeous. I would go see it again, and I don't see movies that often. But my sister and I, my birthday's Friday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. So my sister is coming down to visit, and we are, the reason I have not yet seen Black Panther is because she and I are going to go see that together.
Lovely.
And at least the theater will have heat.
You hope.
Yeah. So and the theater has reclining chairs and a bar. So even if there's no heat, there's liquor.
That is the best innovation in cinemas.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
For years.
Like, it's like, how did we not do this?
But this
before?
Was going on for years. I remember there was a theater in Columbus back in the 90s that used to have beer and reclining seats and food. I mean, it was a it was a total dive. I mean, it was, you know, the kind of place. I mean, I was there for Rocky Horror, to give you an idea how much food was ground into the seats of this theater that served food and beer. But
and
you know,
then
it was,
you add toast and
rice,
yeah, and
prunes, and all of the other things.
The fox,
and then the beer
do...
just kind of soaked it all in and made it into like a pate.
Oh, nice! So it was just a kind of like perma layer of just
So I'm guessing that your theater that you're going to is going for more like the luxury end of
these
this.
These are more the luxury seating with the. Moving the seats back and
probably
forth.
Have someone who
I
comes
hope
and
somebody wipes the seats
shows.
Off every
at
once in a while.
At least every other show.
But at least they're like they're not that like red cloth, you know.
Yeah.
And you remember like the '80s, the big innovation was cup holders. And I still back home. There's a movie theater. I'm from Northern Michigan. They don't have cup holders. You have to put
your cup holders
down on.
Wow.
Yeah. It's old school. So anyway, I'm gonna go see the Black Panther, but I would totally recommend A Wrinkle in Time if you're a fan of the genre and that kind of movie and
or just like pretty
or just
things.
Like Pretty Things. It is really, really pretty. I was there with a friend and I'm just like, this is so pretty. And then she and I were laughing at parts and nobody else in the theater were laughing. I'm like, that was funny.
That is my favorite thing in theater, in film, is when there's a joke that's fantastic and you're laughing and no one else is either willing to laugh out loud or gets it.
Right.
And then you're thinking, did I hear that wrong?
Though I have to say, one of my favorite theater experiences was with my best friend. She and I went to see Little Miss Sunshine.
Uh-huh.
And the dance at the end of Little Miss Sunshine.
Oh, was she just, is it Super Freak?
I think it was Super Freak. Yeah. The entire theater was like cry laughing. It was so funny. That's also a fun experience when like everybody's in on it and you're just like, oh my God. I can't believe this is happening right now.
Yeah. I always enjoyed watching Shaun of the Dead too with the opposite. Because like there's a certain word we use a lot on this podcast, which amazes me. That is deeply offensive. Beginning with C, that doesn't have the same.
It ends with UNT,
I believe.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Ends with UNT. Doesn't have the same cultural impact here that it does in England. In England, we're a lot more free and easy with it because we don't use it as a pejorative kind of thing. And there's a bit right at the beginning where they're talking about how unpleasant Ed Nick Frost character is, and his very first line is. Can I get you cunts a drink? And everyone mortified? In the audience is just dead, aghast. And I'm laughing because I thought that was a really good timing of the joke. But I'm like, oh, okay, so I'm the only British person
in this entire theater. Everybody else is like offended for God knows why.
Yeah, exactly.
So we've talked about a bunch of movies. But let's talk to Rena about Rena and what she does. So you, I understand, created a dog rescue for senior dogs?
I founded a rescue. For a second there, I thought you were asking me if I had created a dog, which is one thing like that I have not made.
I mean, I've seen the lab. It's working.
I'm trying.
It's alive. Just not quite there.
Yeah, Sleeping Dog Studio is a foster-based, very small senior and special needs dog rescue.
Aww.
We've been around for about a year and a half, not terribly long. Is that right? Year and a half? 2 years, September?
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah.
I'm sorry, say it again. Sleeping.
Sleeping Dog Studio.
Sleeping Dog Studio.
Okay. I have an art studio and there are many old dogs sleeping in it. And I thought, aw, old dogs, they sleep. We'll call it Sleeping Dog Studio, right? What a lovely thought. And then the first, I didn't even really have enough money to rescue a dog yet, but I'm already trolling. Like, I'm going to start a dog rescue. I'm going to look for dogs in need.
Now I can hoard dogs.
Shh, that's not what I'm doing. Don't say that loud enough. Dave can hear me. So I'm trolling and I see this lovely senior Basset.
Oh my God, Basset!
Beautiful
helps?
Picture. Yeah, this beautiful. It's just this little blurry picture of her and she's sitting in a field and something about a senior Basset that needs rescue and what. And I'm like, oh, I could take the dog, right? Right. So there's a huge fiasco trying to coordinate with another rescue, and we're not communicating well, and nothing's going well. And I get this dog. She's 9 years old, which is senior.
Mm-hmm.
There is no sleeping with this dog.
Oh.
She is really bad.
She's batshit crazy. I want her. That was... Did you meet Noodles, Nick?
I don't think I met Noodles, no. Okay.
You've met a lot of the dogs.
I've met
a lot
of them, but I don't think Noodles. Yeah. I've heard of Noodles.
Yeah. She lives in infamy. She's still around.
She's a dog that
we need
lives
to post a picture of Noodles.
I can find a picture of Noodles, I'm sure.
It's like a little streak.
Yeah. So the story of getting Noodles. Do you mind if I tell the story? It's a little long-winded.
No, okay. No. It's tell fine. Story. Long-winded is fine.
Oh, good, because I am.
Yes.
I'm supposed to be meeting this girl. Noodles is in Toledo. There's someone who's going to drive Noodles to me. And she's going to arrive at like 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, oh, okay. I can do this. I can be up at 2 o'clock in the morning to receive a Basset Hound from whatever. Great. I got this. Totally fine. And this is my first rescue. I have no idea if this is normal or not. It's not.
It's not.
totally not. You know. So... The other rescue that's coordinating didn't want to give me this person's contact information.
What?
Whatever. So it's like midnight, and I finally, the person contacts me. I'm going to be off work soon. I'm going to be leaving to bring the dog to you. I'm like, do you want me to meet you halfway? Because I'm awake and I'm not doing anything, and that way you can go to sleep sooner, whatever. She says, sure. So I'm like, you know, I get in the car. I'm halfway to Toledo.
Sounds like you're
going to
get murdered.
I'm alive. Totally alive.
You need to listen to our murder discussions.
So I'm halfway to Toledo, and I get a message from her that says, I've lost the dog.
What?
what do you mean you've lost the dog? Well, apparently, they had waited for her to get off work from her shift at the tattoo parlor. And the dog had been tied up outside a house that she didn't really know. And she'd panicked. It was a warm day. Dog had freaked out, wrapped herself around a picnic bench a whole bunch of times. When they went to take her off of the leash to put her in the car, she slipped her collar and bolted.
I have beagles. That's happened.
Yeah. Right. So I drive all the way into Toledo. And we spend...
And now you're on a rescue mission.
Now we're on a rescue mission. It's like... 2:30 in the morning, the bars are letting out.
Oh,
I'm
God.
Asking like drunk people who are stumbling home. Have you seen this? What is it? It's a Basset Hound. A what? It's a Basset Hound. It's a dog. It's a short dog with really long ears. Oh yeah. Oh man, she was running that way. She was going so fast.
Or maybe that way.
And then you go to where the other people are like, oh, no, man, she was down by the church. I think she was peeing on the porch. You know, like, right. So we're searching for this dog back and forth across this little neighborhood for like 4 hours. At some point in the night, the garage behind the house that she was tied to catches fire. Right. So there's like a four-story tall fire. And
crazy.
Noodles is going nuts around this neighborhood, running in circles.
Poor Noodles.
Right. And I can't... I give up at like 5:30 in the morning, something like that. The girl who's helping me look for this dog is just distraught. She's heartbroken. Also,
her car is overheating.
like her car is smoking as we're doing circles trying to find the dog.
Oh my God.
She's like, and she keeps saying, "Jimmy is going to kill me."
Who's Jimmy?
She's like, you got to call Jimmy. He wakes up at like 6. You just got to tell him that it's not my fault, man. It is so not my fault. I'm like, all the things are getting really weird. She won't tell me who Jimmy is. So at 6 o'clock, I called Jimmy. And it turns out that Jimmy is like the guy who rescued Noodle's mom. And Noodles is kind of like his grandbaby.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Jimmy also runs the tattoo parlor. Jimmy is
so the Jimmy's boss, her boss?
Her boss, the boss of the guy who had Noodles, who was releasing Noodles, the boss of the guy whose house Noodles was tied behind. Also, he's kind of big in this, like, bike gang.
Oh, my God.
You don't mess with bikers who love dogs.
No. So at 6 o'clock in the morning, he wakes up, and he calls all of his guys, And like we do a shift change. And instead of me and this one terrified tattoo artist, there's now an entire Toledo worth of bikers
searching on their bikes searching
for a deranged basset hound around this burned down. And they did find her and they called me and I went and I got Noodles, who is batshit crazy.
Who was sitting there with a can of gas.
Pretty much, yeah. And
she's
I mean,
like,
she,
I'm just going to have to burn this place down.
She bolted like four more times. It was like the thing she did. She would get loose, and then once you found her once, she's like, totally cool.
This is a fun game.
No. Everybody who got her, anyone who had Noodles for a little bit of time, she would run away. And then once you found her, she's like, oh, cool, you do like me. I'll stay now.
Yeah, it's like a test.
It was her test. Yeah.
Everybody leaves me. I'm going to leave you first.
Yep, exactly. And Noodles has, we're going to say little canine dementia. Uh-huh. So she's terrified. She hates you. Who the hell are you, person who's up in my house in the morning? Bark, 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 bark.
Oh,
you're like, Noodles,
you.
Would you like some cheese? Oh, you're the guy with the cheese.
Lee feels cool. That way about my Rottweiler.
You put her outside. She comes back to the door and she's like, who the hell are you in my house? And you're like, I'm the guy with the cheese. Like, oh, yeah, the guy with the
remember
cheese.
Remember me?
Yeah.
So cool. I'm back.
Yeah, I grew up with my dad rabbit hunted. And so we had
hounds.
We had hound dogs. We had a lot of beagles. But his best hunting dog ever was a beagle basset mix.
Oh, bagel hounds are my
Jody.
Heart.
Jody, the basset beagle. And Jody stole a turkey carcass once and brought it into my bedroom. And we lived in a mobile home, so there were no light switches. You had to like go into the room, crawl up on this built-in desk and mm-hmm. switch the light on. Mm-hmm. And I did that and stepped on the turkey bone and it went into my foot. So I had a constant memory of Jody until a little piece of bone popped out years later.
Yeah.
Now I had just a little scar on the arch of my foot. But also Jody would, she was stolen multiple times.
People stole your bagel?
Yeah, because she was a good hunting dog. But what she would do is when she would go into the woods, she would not leave until she was ready.
Okay.
So my dad would say he would put his coat out on the side of the road and he's like, he'd just go to the bar or whatever, have a beer,
and
go back a few hours later and she'd be lying on his coat.
Aww.
So, yeah, and he's like, yeah, there was a neighbor. This is a rural area, so neighbors are several miles away.
Right.
It's like, yeah, saw my dog, drove over there with my Jeep, and he's like, it's not your dog. He's like, oh, yeah, Jody. She comes running.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how she got into a Jeep, those little...
They're surprisingly agile.
Little otter legs, but yeah, she jumps right in the car, and he's like, yeah, that's my dog, bye. But mm-hmm. yeah, so I have a huge love for beagles because of that. So I have two beagles now, and also two Rottweilers, who are way sweeter than beagles. Beagles are assholes, but I love them. They're assholes, but I love them.
I disagree on the asshole front. I have French bulldogs from Dave.
I want a Frenchie. Right.
Dave has French bulldogs, and I have hounds.
I love hounds.
Which gives you kind of a good, really snapshot into the dynamic of our relationship.
It's basically a 16th century Versailles kind of now, like setup.
I've been told that Frenchies are clown dogs.
Clown dogs?
You're like, no, that's not it.
As in, they live asshole in the gutters, clowns. And they live in the drains, and they lure tiny children down to...
They're like Pennywise.
That's Henri, yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
Who to me, Henri, just looks like he's got the coloring, and until you can see his face, he
have to post
and
pictures
still,
of these dogs.
He yes, still does. Pictures. He looks like a breed of pig from England called a Gloucester Old Spot.
He does.
It's amazing because, and he sort of sounds like a Gloucester Old Spot too. It's amazing.
No, I love. I mean, my dogs are assholes, but I love them regardless. It's having Rottweilers who actually listen to you, and when I tell them things, they do it.
Right.
It's just so weird to me.
It's a different like, kind of dog.
I have a Rottweiler puppy who is about this tall. He's super tall and skinny. He's my little runway model, and I look at him and I'm like, go do X, and he'll go do it. Get out of my kitchen. He'll go out of the kitchen, and he'll sit there, a very pretty sit, aww. And he'll wait. He is mostly a vegetarian. He loves any fruit, vegetable, anything that you will hand him. He'll eat it. My beagles, you try to hand them a piece of cauliflower, they're like, what the fuck is that?
Right.
that's not meat, except when the Rottweiler eats it. Then they'll eat it just out of spite.
Oh, sure.
Right.
And so it's just so weird to me because they're so obedient and so good that I'm like, what is wrong with me that I like these asshole dogs who are just like, yeah, no, not going to do that.
Because they're more like little people.
Yeah. They're like, I don't need to sit for you.
Right.
You got cheese? No cheese?
No cheese, no sit. Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying. I have a beagle, Bip Beep.
Oh, what? Yeah. What?
Bip Beep.
Oh, that's his name?
Yeah.
Oh, Bip Beep. Okay.
Bip Beep. And he's fat.
Yes, he is.
No, most beagles are.
Yeah.
Mine are not, but the most beagles are.
He's obese. And we're trying to teach him shake.
All I get is sit.
Yeah. We've got sit down. It took a year, but we got sit down. And shake works if I am holding his food bowl. Not a treat. The whole damn bowl. He's figured out, you know, that I'm not willing unless
yeah.
it's
yeah, like that. Like exchange rate on a shake is not.
I don't get out of bed without 50 grand.
Right.
The exchange rate on a shake is not one piece of kibble.
Exactly. Yeah.
It is
and,
a whole
bowl. And if you try and shake the left paw.
Oh, that's too confusing.
Oh, yeah. It's just.
What the hell just happened? Why are you touching my foot?
But I will say that beagles, one, don't make as much noise as people think that they do.
No.
Now, mine.
Well, some of them do.
Some of them do. Mine will bark and howl, but it's for a reason. It may be a stupid reason. Like there's somebody on their street in front of them, which is open to everyone.
Right.
My younger one doesn't really bark at all, but he roos. His name is Ruger, so it's fitting. But he roos at the other dogs when they won't play with him.
Oh.
So that's usually the only time that he really barks. The other one is a mouthy. Yeah. But still not as mouthy as people think.
Oh, people have this concept that beagles and hounds in general are just howling all
barkers,
the time.
Right.
And they really aren't. You know?
And the other thing I love about them is that they are, you know, they're supposed to be hunters. The biggest thing they hunt is like what's under the covers. They are big cuddle burrow, like cover burrowers. So I have to fight with them about the blankets.
Uh-huh.
But it's awesome because they kick out heat more than any dog.
Oh,
like
yeah.
if you have no heat, this is the dog you want in your bed with you. Like they're like a little fat hot water bottle.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Beep is great. Like to just hang out with us on a winter evening because he will just like lie right on top of you.
Yeah.
And just.
Yep.
Generate. And my Roo is a cuddle, like the biggest cuddle bug I have ever dealt with. He like climbs in your lap and lies there like a baby.
That's Beeper.
And you like got to cuddle him. And we have puppy cuddle time every morning and he insists on it. Like you don't get a choice in it. I'll have my laptop on my lap, like trying to work. And he's just like. Like, okay, I'm putting the laptop on top of you then because I need to get work done.
I'm sure he doesn't mind.
He doesn't, as long as he's touching you.
Yep.
So with the rescue that you've started, do you specifically go out and rescue senior dogs? How's that working?
We work with seniors.
Okay.
At this point, we are so close to filing our 501c3, but have not yet done it. We have this bad habit of getting enough money to pay for the filing and then using it to rescue a dog.
You know, the EC filing is
it's still
money that you could spend.
It's still money that we could spend on. Yeah. But what we have primarily taken in are owner surrenders. So it's usually word of mouth. Someone knows someone, and it's almost always someone who's passed or gone into hospice or assisted living, and their family has a dog that they either don't want or can't care for. Mm-hmm. A lot of what we've done is outreach with the families too, to kind of
that's nice.
Make sure that they don't. They're not giving up my uncle's dog. I'm not taking him to the pound. This is a loved animal, and I'm doing something good for them. And we make sure that they still see photos of them as long. I mean, most people don't need that forever. Most people,
but they want to know that they have a good home.
Yeah. So,
because for a lot, it's like their last connection. Like I have a cousin who, sadly, a year and a half ago, was in an accident and, his car went off a ravine in Arizona and he died. And the only thing that my aunt and uncle have, I mean, not the only thing, they have memories and he has children and things, but they don't see them. But they were taking care of his lab puppy.
Oh.
And so it was like, well, at least they had that. And I mean, they're keeping him. But you know, it's like you still have that connection. So that's one more connection that people have. And when they have to
let go of it, it's hard because it's traumatic.
Like that may be a stage of grief where they may not have grieved as much when the person died as they do when they have to
give up that animal. Yep. So we try and be really respectful of that and make sure that people still have the connection to the animals. I have Emma, who's with me, was actually an owner surrender. Her family has had some tremendous problems with health. And they have a toddler, and they had Emma, who has a bladder disorder.
Mm.
She just pees a lot, all the time, pretty much.
Does she wear puppy diapers?
She wears little onesies. She's adorable. It's true.
That's so cute.
Like a little chubby house elf or something.
She does. Yeah. Like, and we make sure that her family gets lots of pictures of her and updates. Uh-huh. And almost every family that we've worked with, I am still friends with, at least on Facebook, and they can see the pictures of their animals.
That's awesome. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to put my nonprofit lawyer hat on. Get your filing done as soon as possible so people can write you big checks.
I know. That is the plan for this year. I think the first year was just, I'm going to start it.
Right.
Rescue.
I'm going to do this.
And last year it was like, oh, wow, we really can do this. This is really going to work. And we're actually kind of good at it. And this year is the year where we
get your shit in order.
We get our shit in order. Yeah. We get our paperwork filed. I have one foster that's currently open, and it's not me. By taking myself out of the foster pool, I'm opening my rescue time
to doing more administrative stuff. We're meeting tomorrow.
We're having our first board meeting of the year to discuss just
so
that.
So excellent. You have a board. That's good.
We are a state nonprofit. We're just not a federal.
Right. So and people confuse this, so I'm going to explain it. A nonprofit in the state of Michigan means absolutely nothing in terms of tax exempt status. Mm-hmm. So all that means is that you are a corporation that does not plan on making a profit. That doesn't mean you can't pay people. If you can get revenue, great, you can
lovely.
Pay people. but it means that you don't operate like a Ford for profit for shareholders or for the individual business owner. To be tax exempt, usually under state law even, you have to have the federal tax-exempt status, which is an IRS filing. And so sometimes people will and I've dealt with these, so I'm not lecturing to you. Generally for our tons of listeners. if you only file a nonprofit state of Michigan corporation, I've had clients who have said, oh, well, we're a tax-exempt organization. I'm like, no. Ooh, no, you're not.
No.
You are not. So that IRS filing is the next step, and it's an essential step. Some of the tax changes may change whether or not people want to write checks, but frankly, a lot of people are happy to get the little letter saying this is tax exempt, but unless you itemize your taxes, it doesn't really matter.
Right.
So my view is that most people are just going to write checks because they love dogs or they love children, whatever. You know, they're still going to be generous because the generosity is the tax deduction is a perk, but it's not the reason that most people support the charities that they support.
The reason that we need to do our 501c3, there's a couple. One is that a lot of other rescues and shelters will only partner with a 501c3. Yes. So right now we're doing exclusively owner surrenders, partially because I don't have pull privileges. There are a couple shelters that will let you. Yeah. There are a couple shelters that will work with a well-vetted, no pun intended, rescue that's not nonprofit, but most of them won't.
So I'm in the process of this right now, actually. I'm a partner in a doggy daycare down in Austin, Texas, with a friend of mine from elementary school and high school. And we just started a 501c3, but it's a farm sanctuary.
Oh, cool.
And it also, she's doing all of this. Chris, you're amazing. I think she's back from Puerto Rico, but she just went to Puerto Rico to do spaying and neutering of cats and dogs in Puerto Rico. And in a day or two, they did 400. She's there with one of the guys from the Jackass TV show, Steve-O, who was really involved in, he rescued a dog from the streets of Peru and really got into it. Apparently got his own vasectomy to support the dogs. But
whatever great, it takes,
yay,
man.
Whatever.
Okay.
But so one of the things that we are doing is with the farm sanctuary, one of the things that Chris does is she goes around to local veterinary clinics and stuff and gets supplies to then take to third right. world, I would say third world countries, that's less privileged countries, where there are a lot of street dogs.
Yeah.
And so she brings medical supplies and things like that.
That's
so that
amazing.
They can take care of these dogs, because they're usually a couple of people who are just like good-hearted people who are out on the streets feeding the dogs and making sure they're taken
right.
care of. And, you know, if one of them gets sick or injured, it's all on them to take care of the dogs. So and then the other thing is the farm sanctuary part, she's rescued some animals in the Houston area after the flooding. And so we've got some potbelly pigs and goat puppies and things like that. And so she wants to bring in people with disabilities to work with, you know, like autism and PTSD and things like that to work with
yeah.
the animals. But I'm saying all of that because people who listen have heard this over and over again. So we're going through the same process, and you know, I had to do the C3 and
right.
get the board together and all of that. So not only do I deal with it from a client perspective, and I'm dealing with it from a personal perspective. And it's
right.
like, we got people who want to write checks. And the other thing is, if there's a foundation out there who has as their mission
there
one of these things,
a lot,
they will not do anything if you do not have a C3
right.
status. And the reason for that is because they have to keep very tight records if they're giving to an individual
right.
or a business. It's to show that what they've given the money for is going to their exempt purpose.
Right.
But if you hand them a determination letter from the IRS that says you're a C3, they just put it in their file and that's all they have to do.
Yeah.
Right.
So typically foundations like Kresge or Mott, whoever, they will only donate to organizations that have a C3 determination.
Right. There is a lot of grant money out there specifically for senior dog rescue.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And they're, my understanding is that there generally aren't enough people working in senior dog rescue to take mm-hmm. it all.
Now, do you know of Silver Muzzle?
I love Silver
aren't
Muzzle.
Aren't they great?
I love Silver Muzzle. And then here locally, if you know, Brain, where are you? NBS. Is NBS mm. Animal Rescue is amazing. And they're local and they are not technically a senior and special needs dog rescue, but they are primarily small breed senior and special needs.
Oh, really?
And they are absolutely one of my favorite rescues ever. They
okay,
just
I'll
do
have
amazing
to look them up.
Work.
I've seen a lot on Silver Muzzle Up, which is up north in the Traverse
yeah.
City area.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you sounds like you could use some volunteers for various things.
Always.
So
we always
fostering?
Use volunteers. We definitely need fosters. We always need fosters. The rescue. I mean, I don't know if everyone knows what all is involved with fostering. Basically, you love the dog, and you provide
and then
it
you
a
have
safe.
To give it.
Oh. Yeah, but then we give you another one. It's like a revolving door of new dog.
It's like those clothing things where you like ship
yeah,
it and then you ship it back.
It's like your Winnie Bee subscription, but for dogs. Adorable older dogs. No, but we provide all the vetting and and honestly, because we're working with seniors, hospice fostering is a thing, and it is a
need.
We
did that for a Rottweiler that was found in a home down in Allen Park where somebody
yeah.
had been evicted or whatever, and they left their damn dog in the house.
Uh-huh.
And he was probably 9 or 10, which is at the end of a Rottweiler's
that's
life.
Pretty long for a
yeah,
Rottweiler.
So we had him for about a year.
Mm-hmm.
It was tough because we knew that he was going to go. But we also knew that he had a great last year.
Right.
Know.
And that is... You know, dogs, they do remember to some extent, but they don't remember in the
yeah.
way people do. They're very in the moment. So a dog that is happy now is happy forever.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. And he had a good time and he had fun. And his last weekend, we took him up north and he got to hang out at a cabin of a friend of ours. And then he came back like... And it was time. Like, we just knew.
You know,
it was like he just declined rapidly.
He had his time. He,
yeah.
He'd had his moment. He had what he needed.
The other thing that people who do fostering should know is that basically mileage and dog food and all of that, if
mm-hmm.
they pay for it, is just like making a charitable donation. So
once
they can
we're
501c3. Deduct that. Once you're 501c3.
Yeah. Then it is all deductible. Yeah. So our long-term goal, and this is pretty far out into the future, but our long-term goal is to, are you familiar with the Ferndale Cafe?
Yes.
Okay.
We had we had her on, didn't we? Yeah. I wasn't here.
It's a little bit like the cafe, but not quite. What I would love to have is a community art space that also has a rotating group of senior dogs that live there. People come in, they do art projects, we have workshops, we do things that bring in revenue for the rescue.
And I can just go in and cuddle dogs?
And you can just go and cuddle dogs. Maybe we'll adopt some dogs out that way. Maybe we'll just socialize the animals.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we just educate some people about how fun an older animal can be to be around.
They're great.
So they open your mind up a little bit. And they're way more interesting and energetic than people think, as my experience with sleeping dogs.
My 10-year-old female Rottweiler has turned into a nut in the last year because we got a puppy. So she's crazy.
Yep. And she's
as a Rottweiler, I'm like, 10 years, she's going to die anytime. And she's like, no, I'm not.
No, I'm not.
We're going to play.
Yep.
So, and the other thing is senior dogs, depending on the breed, I mean, a 9-year-old beagle is not really a senior. I mean, that's halfway through their life.
Yeah.
I mean, all of my beagles have lived until 15, 16 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Our cutoff for a large dog is 8. Mm-hmm. For a Chihuahua, it has to be at least 9, but we prefer closer to 11.
Right.
You know,
they live forever.
They do. You know, and I just placed Buster Wilson, who is now Elvis,
he's now Elvis.
He's now Elvis because of his little waddly walk.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. All right. Was a dachshund mix. He went to a fantastic family in Canada. But Buster is 14. And aside from his wobbly walk, shows no signs of slowing down at all. He goes in spurts now. I imagine as a puppy, he was
constant,
and now he goes and then he sleeps. And then he goes.
Oh, that's basically a beagle life anyway.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, they sleep a lot.
Yeah,
we put in a camera in the house because I was like, I wonder what the dogs do when I'm not home. They freaking sleep. It's very boring.
Yeah, the least interesting documentary ever.
How would people contact you if they want to volunteer
through our Facebook page?
Okay, because I assume you could also use help grant writing.
Oh yeah,
taking donations of all food, of that sort blankets, of things. Blah blah blah.
Yeah. You want to walk a dog? Anybody want to walk a dog?
Dog. You know, when I was at MSU as a student at their veterinary clinic, you used to be able to check out dogs, which was great. When you were an undergrad and you missed your dog from home, you take your student ID and drop it off. And they had resident greyhounds that were used for blood transfusions and stuff. You could go check out dogs and walk them around campus and then check them back in.
I think they
Where
do
did
that.
They stamp on that?
No, they just kept your ID until you came back.
Fine,
you needed it because you also used your ID to get into the cafeteria.
Right. I was going to say, you needed that because that meant food.
Yeah.
Right.
So anyway, your Facebook page.
Yeah. Facebook.com/MakeArtRescueDogs.
Make Art Rescue Dogs.
Nice. Yep.
Facebook.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. That's us, Sleeping Dog Studio. And we're, like I said, we're still very, very small, but we're growing.
But you're going to grow, especially once you get that IRS paperwork in.
Yep.
So let's talk about your art.
Oh, dear God. Okay.
What medium do you use?
All of them.
All of them. So
all of them.
Pottery, paint.
Okay. I don't do pottery. You're
okay.
Right.
She's like, the first thing you said, never mind.
No. That's the one. No. No. I'm also a terrible weaver. No, I don't know. I am.
I just don't even want to even think about a loom and dealing with that kind of shit.
Exactly. It's too much equipment.
Right. Yeah.
A lot of mixed media.
A lot
stuff.
Of mixed media. Back when I was exhibiting often, which I don't really anymore, most of my work was in mixed media collage, small scale. And used to make basically little icons kind of things. They were very small and funny, but not... God, it's hard to describe art. Words, bleh. It's hard to describe visual art.
Right, verbally.
Words,
right.
Yeah. But
so when you say icons, are you talking about the little religious?
Yeah.
Like the where you would see the Jesus in gold foil or the saint in gold foil.
Yeah, that little kind of icon.
But it was
things.
Kind of like a quirky take on
yeah.
that style.
Yeah. I had a whole series that one of my friends dubbed the underwear series.
Okay.
That were
I thought you were going to say underworld.
Underwear. It was mostly ancient sculptures with modern day foundational garments painted on them holding different objects. So, yeah.
This sounds like something we would be interested in.
That does
say foundational
like
garments.
We might want to,
yeah, so you know, not attractive foundational garments. Mostly tidy whiteies.
Well.
Okay, now I'm horrified. Now you're back to underworld. It's the underwear underworld.
So, you know, a Minoan snake goddess wearing a sports bra and holding fish.
Okay.
Do you have photos of any of this?
Yeah.
Because we would like to post some of that, too.
Yeah. Yes. I did a whole series of gerbils.
A whole series of gerbils?
Yeah, a whole series
live
of gerbils.
Live gerbils? Or?
No. Collage gerbils. Okay. The black magic gerbil. The gerbil.
Oh my God.
The gerbil love thief.
So you're making me think of, okay, so I don't do movies about much, but I do a lot of Twitter and podcasts. So have you seen, and I just saw this on Twitter, so I don't know. I know that there's a website for it, but I can't remember the name of it. The birds with the funny name. Somebody does like, I think they're just paintings of birds, but then they have funky names.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, where they're like really complex, but they're like... Yeah, they're kind of, they go it with a lot of pathos and bathos in the names. Like, you know, they're long-winded descriptions.
They're really long-winded descriptions.
I have the link somewhere.
Right,
yes.
Like, and it's like, there's like a bird that's going like, you know, like eyeballs out. Like, and the title is something like crazy. Some of them are shorter, but some of them are like a full sentence description.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I thought at first you were talking about the pictures where there's like, you know, a pretty little bird that'll say, like, I preen for Satan.
Oh, God.
But those are good, but that's a different artist. But yes,
similar.
I saw recently that they're very good quality images of birds. And the thing that makes them stand out, I mean, they're pretty work. I mean,
right.
it's good work.
But it's really the title.
It's the titles. That, yeah. I'll find that link.
Fine, if you can find that link. You've got a lot of stuff
recently.
To post this week, Nick.
Yeah, oh God,
sorry.
That's okay. I'm going up to Flint tomorrow, but like maybe in the evening.
In your copious free time.
That,
so,
yes.
Rena, we have about 5 minutes left, but yeah. Are you still exhibiting? You said you don't really anymore?
Not really. I've been working with Kathy Koja and Nerve Productions. So I've been doing mostly, aside from like my wholesale line and my illustration work and my freelance, everything, I've been channeling most of my creative energy into theatrical installations and costume design for our productions.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Okay.
So aside from all of this stuff, you're also doing this other thing and this.
So I have questions, though. Let's go.
Okay,
back to,
go fast.
Back to the,
quick
lightning
quick,
round.
Go.
Illustration. So you illustrate books?
No, I've been working for the past 5 years on the same tarot deck.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about the tarot deck.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's almost 6 years, I think.
But
actually,
if somebody wanted to hire you for illustrating,
you would have to actually contact me personally because I don't have a portfolio online because I let my website lapse because it was so out of date.
But you're just like, fuck it.
Yeah, I just start this thing from scratch, and then I realized that would be another project starting.
Yeah.
Another. So there's just not one.
Okay, so you don't have a website,
nope.
Etsy store.
All just my wholesale line.
What's your wholesale line?
Jewelry.
Jewelry. She's like, meh, jewelry, whatever. Stuff you might want to wear. Like,
it's some stuff that you wear. Psh. Yeah. Well, I mean, I used to do these enormous, elaborate structural bib necklaces, and I do still have some of them, but I've kind of put all of that energy into building a wholesale line. So if you look right now, it's just all of this very simple, ready-to-wear, easy giftable things, as opposed to the more creative things that I will get back to.
When you have time and you're not doing dog rescue and illustrating and theater installations and costume design and I got
you sleep, tired. Don't you?
I sleep a lot. I have to sleep a lot. But
sleep is for the weak and the bored.
I am weak. Yeah. So I don't understand how people have the energy to do what they do. So if I were going to find your Etsy store, okay, where would I find that?
The current jewelry line is under Etsy/Bits and Oddments. And if you look up Divine Iguana.
That was it.
Yeah, Divine Iguana. If you just Google Divine Iguana, you're going to find some pictures of my artwork.
Okay.
Divine as well Iguana. As like pictures of me and pictures of iguanas with halos.
Yeah.
And that's I believe cool. There's actually a Divine Iguana bar.
Not affiliated.
Not affiliated.
Because you're not also a bartender slash bar owner,
I am not
right?
Also a bartender slash bar owner.
Although you are sometimes a performer.
Yeah, I've performed as, I do burlesque every once in a while.
Oh my
not
God,
as much
I love
as I
burlesque.
Used to. And,
okay.
And
now
perform
we're at the
Theater
end
Bazaar
and
each year.
She pulls that out.
Sorry. Yeah.
All right, yeah. We're going to have to have you back on to talk about that and a lot more stuff, but if somebody wanted to get in contact with you about some of your other artwork,
Divine Iguana.
How Divine Iguana? They
Divine
can...
Iguana. If it's not associated with the bar, Divine Iguana is me on every social platform, all over.
Okay,
it's
so
always
if
me.
I wanted you to illustrate a children's book, I don't have a children's book. I'm
if
just
you,
making it
if
up.
If you wanted,
I would email you through Divine Iguana, yeah, like your Etsy site or whatever. I can contact you that way.
Yeah, if you like have a children's book with lots of tidy whities. I'm your girl.
Tidy whities. Maybe I could start a children's book just based on that premise.
You could.
So Divine Iguana, mm-hmm, on anywhere except the bar is not Rena.
Yeah, and I think it's closed now, but yeah.
The Sleeping Dog Studios
Sleeping
is the
Dog
rescue.
Studio.
And anything else we need to know about where you're at, what you're doing?
No, but you guys can all cross your fingers because I am doing a Skype home visit to adopt a dog out of, ooh, Wisconsin at 6:30 tonight. And it's another Basset Hound. Her name is Trinka, and she's 11. So that is what my world is about today.
Fingers crossed. We're crossing our fingers for you. Well, yeah, thank you so much for joining us. You have a lot more to talk about. An hour is not enough.
Sorry. I'm not, I don't compartmentalize well.
Oh God, no,
that's
neither do
perfectly
we.
Perfectly fine. That's fully in keeping with the aesthetic.
Exactly.
So I'll let you know the next time I have a line of work that's ready and I'll be like, look,
absolutely,
I'm doing this thing.
No, seriously, if you have anything where you're going to do an installation or you're exhibiting or you get your C3 status, whatever.
That should be
And you want to come back on, just let us know.
Sure.
We are always interested in promoting stuff going on around town, whether that's nonprofits or entrepreneurs or, yeah, artists or all of the above.
And at some point soon, the next month maybe, I really want to bring on Holly Hawk from the School of Burlesque. Mm-hmm. So it would be kind of cool to get like a burlesque stroke.
Okay, there's a school of burlesque. I got a whole lot of questions about that, but we have to go.
Okay.
So I'm going to have a lot of questions about the school of burlesque. But anyway, thank you all for joining us today. Sorry, Facebook Live people, that we couldn't make our technology work.
We'll post the video.
We'll post the video, and everyone have a fabulous week. Next week, I believe we have Kelly Fowler on to
sounds about right.
Talk to us about, I assume, container.
Yes, container housing. Structures.
Container structures. Yeah.
Housing, yep.
She's cool. So we'll talk to her next week. And in the meantime, everybody stay warm.
And here are the vomit spots.